So there we go. Over to you.
Okay. I was trying to think. I was mentioning to you that we have gone up a couple times since last visit with you, and the last time that we went, we ended up finding a book about the about our group, and we're just wondering. Now that that's happened, have things changed, like protocols? We're wondering if there are certain ways. We were unsure. We went to the mobile courts, and then we weren't sure if it was to be, should we go just because we're doing basic repentance as a start? Did we need to go to the Court of Chancellors? We didn't. We were just repenting, so we didn't. We knew the Court of Angels were there, and I don't think we didn't release anything that way. We were wondering though if there's a difference now in protocol and what that might be to take us forward.
I would say when you get a book or a scroll, it's really to find the beginning, and I think that's probably what you did. You started by dealing with why it was dusty, why it not been opened, and having a good foundation of repentance and identification with it, which I think is always a good place to start. I think the key then would be to go together and look to open it, because the pages in there may be seasons, or there may be specific activity, or there may be a specific thing mandate for something. You know, each page may be completely different, but they'll be obviously working together according to the plans and purposes of God. So what we do as a bench, we go and we take the book to our thrones, and we open it and begin to look at it, and then what we do is what we've received, we then step out and begin to share that together. And what we find is often that each person will get a different bit of the jigsaw. And then as we share, we tend to find that then the three of us is greater than in the sum of the three, if you know. It just gives a big picture. And we've recently done this, and what we tend to find, I mean, I tend to see the bigger picture stuff, so I tend to see this is what the pages look like and this is what's on them. And then one of our others, who's more in terms of a kingly function, he usually sees something to do with protocol, or he may see something to do with strategy. And then the other lady, she's more prophetic in that sense, and she usually ties in dreams or pictures or visions that she's had recently, and suddenly we'll suddenly get a bigger picture. And once we've seen that bigger picture, then we decide, well, what do we need to do? So, you know, sometimes we'll step back into heaven and we will go and get an authorization if it's something new, or it's a particular season that we need to inaugurate or begin to open. We may well go back in together and administrate that at that point. When we're sort of often we've seen some things, and we know in our hearts that what we've seen is from God, then we will take that heavenly agreement and we will go and take it to our group of 12 and then submit it to them and look to get their earthly agreement so that we can, you know, open this up. And often what we'll do then is we'll all step back in around the ark and open our hearts to receive it. Because just because we've opened a page doesn't mean that that page is in us yet and we've received it, and the desire for that page is not yet necessarily cultivated. And so it's only that which you carry within you that you can really administer effectively. So we often would go and take that back. Maybe, you know, for recently it was a couple of scrolls that were shown on the pages specifically for certain things. We then took that back to the 12, and I actually printed a couple of fiery scrolls out, put them on the table, and then it was like, okay, you know, are we in agreement? Are we in heavenly agreement, an earthly agreement? Then let's step in together, and let's take that into our hearts, and let's begin to meditate around what the purposes of God is in it, what any particular people's mandates or mountain mandates are in it, just give some time to begin to see. Now, you know, recently my action around the ark has been also stepping into the presence of God and then looking back to the beginning and beginning to see what was this before, and what was it in the heart of God, and what was it, and what would this look like without sin, because I'm looking back into before the foundation where sin is it doesn't exist. And we begin to, you know, start to cultivate desire for that which we've had revelation of, because revelation itself is no guarantee of exercising authority unless you take that revelation and you incubate it and you brood it. You know, the Spirit hovered over the waters. There was an overshadowing, which we need to do with anything we see or receive, to fully release it in time. Because sometimes the things we see are instant, but mostly there's a time scale with it, and there's always a time attached to it to be able to fully form it within. So we spend time doing that, you know. And then, you know, often if there is something that we need to do in the courts, we'll go into the courts together and we'll deal with the things around it. Because quite often God shows us something that he wants to do, then he'll show us why we can't do it and why the enemy's got a right to block it. And then we then need to remove those rights, which then gives us access. So, you know, I think each time you just have to look at each page and discern what is it that we need to do with this. You know, if it is a spiritual mandate to do something, then, you know, I you know, it was like, okay, what is my spirit saying? If I'm engaged in the four faces of God, am I looking to bring order? So am I bringing the kingly function? Am I looking to bring the prophetic? So I'm looking to call things into being, bring the reality of God's desire into the present. Am I looking from the apostolic to establish a blueprint for how this would function? Is it the priestly function? And in a sense, the more time you spend around the presence of God in the ark, the more your heart's desires begin to be shaped by those things that God's revealed. And then it's really then allowing your spirit to direct. You know, if this was something new and judicial, a new season and a new particular protocol, then we would probably go to the Chancellor's Court and get authorization. And particularly the angelic court. I mean, we need angelic assignments. So, but it's very much being just directed and guided by the Spirit each time, rather than, oh yes, we know what to do with this. Well, actually, I'm not going to make an assumption I know what to do with it. I'm going to go and seek God's revelation of what to do with it, and let my spirit begin to flow out of the desire which has been created by looking into it. You know, because what you look at, you become. And so if I'm looking into the purposes of God and I keep looking into it and I create the desire by looking at it, then I become something that can release that and birth that. But you know, it takes some time to cultivate desire. You know, it's not an instant thing.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there may be something that is instant. I want you to make these declarations today. You know, I want you to, you know, assign angels to deal with this today, and that's fine, because if you know that you've been given that, I tend to find that when I'm given something to enact or to deliver now, I will get this sense that I need to take Aaron's rod or the scepter and I go to my mountain with it, you know. I just get that. My spirit just leads me to begin to do that. Other times, you know, I'll spend more time around the presence of God, and then it will be, okay, now you need to do this. Or actually, no, step back and bring this back and get agreement, then establish something else. Obviously, it's different in our situation because we have different sort of groupings of leaders and ministry that we engage in with. But basically, teaching everyone to follow the same protocols, really. You know, carry it in your heart. Let that release the desire, which then will lead to an outworking of what the fulfillment of that will be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you know, it's one of those things that is a continual dependence on God rather than I'm just formula here, or I'm just even the pathways that I take. The places along the way of those pathways can be totally different each time because it's a fresh day. There's new things to engage, you know. And if you think, you know, the end of one day is the beginning of the next, it's always that way. And so it's always looking for what are the new beginnings each time I encounter and each time I engage,
right?
You know, rather than assumptions. Assumptions are not a good thing in the kingdom.
No,
because it means that we're operating by knowledge, not revelation and understanding, which can be a dangerous thing. Because a little knowledge, So I want fresh revelation knowledge each time. But you know, we're learning. You know, we're learning these things. You know, and God's desire is to teach us. You know, He's not hiding it from us, but He just wants us to pursue. I think pursuit of these things though, is really important, which is really why He doesn't give us the whole thing in one go.
Right.
You know, recently He's spoken to me and showed me some things, and it's like, now I want you to do this. And I'm thinking, okay, can I have a little bit more explanation? No, I want you to do this. So then I have to go back to Him, and I need to take that back to Him. What does it mean to do this? What does it mean? How do I engage this? You know, open up my heart towards this. Give me fresh revelation towards this. And I sort of then go back and spend time developing that so that I have an understanding of what He's saying rather than just these are the words. What was the understanding of the desire and the heart of God beyond the words that I can engage in and invest in, you know, and God wants us to come deeper. You know, that's the thing. And to go deeper, you have to pursue to find that place, you know, and pursue it and pursue it and pursue it. Because God wants to be found, but sometimes He doesn't make it necessarily easy to be found because He wants to see the desire. Have we got the desire to overcome any obstacle that's in our way, you know? And
right. That is a lot of good knowledge to help to guide us. The first time we know it was orchestrated by God, because when we saw the book, there was a wind that Elizabeth saw. And the wind blew the pages to where we needed to go, and opened. So you know, we just saw from that our hearts were for Him to guide us, because we certainly didn't know what He wanted to do. We knew what our desires were for our countries, but you know, we didn't know what His were. So we assumed we have a piece of it, but we also know that there can be some of us in that. So everything had to be submitted. And at the end, we submitted everything to Him also, just gave it back. Then we had another question too. When you're done, do you go to, like, is there's a mountain for us, or do we go to individual mountains? Do we go to mountain for our countries to store, you know, the treasures of the day in, or to make any proclamations, or just to sit and administrate that from. We didn't know where to go from there. We only so far see our own mountain. But
well, if you have, do you feel that you've been invested?
No, we're just starting. So.
So, well, once you've been invested with that authority,
yeah,
and he will take you to a higher mountain, and you will have thrones, each have a throne on that mountain.
Okay.
And that gives you the position to be able to administrate. That will give the angelic realm will recognize that position once you're enthroned there. So I would think that's probably the next step, really, is to receive that investiture of authority, to establish that as a place of the positional place of government, and you can outwork it from there.
Okay.
Because that makes a massive difference.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine, for sure. And we can text you or talk to you after to set up a time, or do we have God do that? What will happen?
Well, I can invest. I have invested people into mountains and in benches of three. And it is something that I am authorized to do, with a chancellor's seal type thing to enable me to do that.
Okay.
But ideally, you know, you'd want to be together or at least, connected together we'd just go and see that take place. Which would be good. You know, once you're there, you see from a different place. Because mm-hmm. you're in a higher position,
right?
You begin to see more from that position. So it sounds what you're doing right now is that each of you have your own mountains, you're called into a higher dimension, but you've not yet accessed it. But you're doing the preparatory work mm-hmm. to enable that investiture to take place,
right?
And it's like in a natural sense, when in our royal family, the heir apparent or Prince of Wales, when he gets to a certain age or when the next in line gets to an age, 21 in our case it was, there is a whole ceremony of investiture. They have the robes and the different things And what happens is they are then invested and they become Prince of Wales, which means that they are now mature enough to become the king, the next king, rather than they're the prince. And actually, because below that age, they would have governors or, the sort of chancellors, if you like, to be able to administrate for them. But when they're 21, then they know they can then succeed. If the case comes around,
mm-hmm.
and that's really, I think, what you're doing. You are preparing, maturing, growing into these things. God is showing you some things, and then that preparation will release fruit, and you will then find the investiture comes, and that will take you to a different dimension. You will begin then to administer together and release things and whatever God shows you to do, in each season and each page and the different things that you're directed to do, is where you just work through it, basically, bit by bit. You just take page by page and look to see what is it that I need to do in this situation, what is God actually saying, and go through the process each time.
Okay.
So once you're in that dimension, you have access to different courts. So, you can access the court of the upright and the court of kings, and there's a different level of authority that you have access to. Once you're established there. Yeah, but good. You know, it's a growth, isn't it? And a maturity, and that's what, you know, I think that's what God desires. And you know, I love it to when I see people begin to take the responsibility that they've been given and then grow into it and, you know, activate it. And you know, once we've had benches of three established all over the place, we're going to start to see the merging of regions and overlap of authorities that actually, you know, take back the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we need to claim it back, and then begin to administrate from an open heaven. Opening everlasting doors is one of the things you get to do when you're in that level of authority, because you become gateways into the spheres, and so then you can lift up the everlasting doors. You can call them into being open, and again that then begins to release what you do from your mountains. You know, the crown that you have. With the different stones, you'll find that as you look into the presence of God and you look into the four faces, you know, the different stones will absorb revelation because they're all different colors of different light, and that will be released through you. Your spirit will just flow with it. It's like you're connected up to a deposit of truth that just moves you to act, and you know, that's a once you're operating there, you know, it's more powerful.
Right. So you just have more layers of revelation. Then the deeper you go with him, like you're talking about the stones, that confirms or increases the revelation that your own spirit is receiving. It directs you in different ways according to his heart and purpose. Then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's like the first layers that you begin to look into are often righteousness. So you're looking into character. You're looking into the fruit of the Spirit. You begin to see God's ways, and you begin to know Him, and in a deeper way. And then as you look beyond that, you're looking into the governmental protocols and precepts. Which, as you look deeper, and you can look deeper into, you know, where you're stepping into Him around the ark and into His presence, and then looking into the past and the beginning, so that you can establish, you know, the end, and then manifest that into the day. So all those become levels. And what I've found is, you know, when I particularly look into the fire stones, or I begin to look into those things, my mind does not understand. It's not a cognitive, I'm going to try and figure it out type of experience. So what will happen is my spirit will resonate, and I will vibrate at the frequency that's being released by God. And it's like the different stones, you know, you have the 12 stones in the crown, which represent the 9 stones of God and our 3 stones to bring whole government. And those stones is that they absorb that revelation. We look into into God and into the fire stones of God, and as we look deeper, the whole dimension of it is different. It's like about a month ago, God spoke to me and He just said, I want you to come deeper. And He said, I want you to come deeper into the river. I want you to come deeper into the fire stones. I want you to come deeper into my heart. So that was it. So I'm then sort of like, okay, well, what does that mean? You know, how do I go deeper? You know, how does that work? You know, because it's like, okay, I need a way of engagement. So then I meditated around that. And as I then engaged the river, I just began to swim deeper into it, and found that, you know, in natural sense, the deeper you go, the more pressure there is, and the heavier the water is pushing on you. But actually in the spirit, it wasn't like that at all. It was like the deeper I went, the more free I became, the more connected I seemed to become. And so what I found was, what I was having an invitation to step into the Holy Spirit, into the river, just step into Jesus, the fire stones, and step into the Father, which was his heart. And so when I then began to engage the fire stones, the first time I ever engaged them, I was standing on them, and it was like I became one with them, and that level was all about revelation of the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God, peace, joy, kindness, patience, all those fruits. So I had a revelation of being love, being joy, being peace. It was just that I became one with the stones. When I began to go back, I began to see into the stones, and I saw deeper into the stones, and then that was the next level, where it was the law and the testimonies and the ways, the precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, ordinances, wonders, and that's the nine layers, really, which is about protocol for the kingdom, and all the things that God does when he rules. He makes laws, he has testimonies, he has his ways, he has precepts, you know, statutes, commandments, you know, they're all things that he rules with. And so I began to, but I could, my mind could not explain or contain. I just knew my spirit was shaking, vibrating, being encoded with the light of the revelation of that deeper level. And that was pretty, it was quite an intense experience, and that opened up access into another level in the courts, which I didn't have access to before, gave access to the seal and a staff I was given. But then when he asked me to come deeper, I'm like, what does it mean to go deeper? How can I get any deeper? But I went back, and actually what it meant was, it's like I went into the stone. So I was not standing on it or looking into it, I went into it. And I was contained within it, and I have yet to catch up with the experience in my mind, but I know there's a deeper level of revelation, and my spirit will draw and connect me to, and I know that connection will again open up maybe different protocol and different things, but it's just, when God says something, I pursue it, and in the pursuit of it, then it becomes more clear what I need to do, and, you know, that's just how it works for me, you know, just following, it's just pursuing, you know, and if, you know, if I'm not pursuing, then God will say something, you know, and he'll ask me, you're going to come, you know, you're going to follow, because I'm moving, I'm going deeper. You know, I think I already in Clayton talk the other day, it was sort of something like, you know, do you want a river which is 40 miles wide and an inch deep, or do you want a river which is 40 miles deep and 1 inch wide? And I thought about it for a second, and it was like, actually, no, I'll go for the deep, you know, because that means I just can go down and down and down. You know, what am I going to do with a 40-mile river? You know, and one mm-hmm. inch is basically, it'll evaporate. It will. No one can swim in it. There'll probably be very little life in it. But yeah. 40 miles deep, wow. What will be down there? You know, and actually, you know, a big river is what people see on the surface.
Right.
But actually, yeah. I'm not interested in what people see. I want to go deeper into God. I want that deep calling out to deep, where the deep things of God call out to me, the deep things of my spirit, and it draws me deeper and deeper and deeper into it. You know, yeah. So, yeah, I think all that's around really what, just learning to follow and to be obedient and to pursue. With that, often it's not about even with an agenda. You know, it's like that was God's agenda, come deeper.
Right, yeah.
I just need, okay, what is your agenda? I'm going to submit to it. Whatever it is you're calling me to, it's going to be for my good, it's going to be for my blessing, and therefore it's going to be something which I can then release to others. So, you know, it's good.
Awesome. I have another question, but I just wanted to let you know that you've kind of gone frozen. I don't know if there's anything. I can hear you fine.
Okay.
But you've just been frozen.
Okay.
So I'm missing all out on your mobile gestures and your facial expressions, but that's okay. If this is still better than losing you totally. So.
I mean, I can see me talking, so.
Okay, so it must be my end, maybe. I can see me moving, but I can't see you.
Okay.
The next question I have then, Mike, is because we still very much are just the three, we just lay it out before God to bring around anyone else to come together with creating that the 10, the witnesses there?
What once you're established on the mountain, then you will have access to see the seven, and so you will see the seven aspects of what you're being called to. And then once you begin to engage what those mountains are, you may well need to deal with things that may be occupying or around those mountains, but then you begin to call forth. You take the mountains in your heart, same process, take the different spheres into your heart, nurture them, and then it's like, now I'm going to release a call, a sound that's going to issue out of us from heaven, and it is going to go out into the earth to call forth people to those mountains.
Okay.
And so then you can send angels out, you can then you're open to listen and to observe what God does, and he'll give you the strategy. It's much easier in one sense in a church setting, because you have a pool of people that God is going to draw from, whereas in your setting, you know, are you going to draw from a pool which is in the Burning Ones group? Are you going to draw from a pool which is across the parallel that you were talking about? You know, what is it that God is going to do? You know, maybe people yet that you don't even know, that will be, God will engineer the connection, and you will then come across, and there will be a connection in the spirit, and then you'll begin to see, hey, they're talking about the mountain that we're looking to see occupied, and then that's sort of the process. And but whatever it is, God will show you what you need to do as a strategy.
Awesome, that sounds so exciting. Yeah, so reliant on Him. That's awesome.
Yeah, each step of the way, you know. And ultimately, I believe God will establish councils of 12 to be like cabinets who administer over all the mountains, and they begin to operate with different spheres, and sometimes that can be made up of the 7 and the 12, you know, to form the 12 with the 3, but there's often two more which have a floating portfolio, or they have an outward lookingness about them that sees a bigger picture and wants to engage in a wider, how do we spread this? They're the sort of the engine room. They sort of like, okay, yeah, we're excited with this. How do we take this further? And you find that, you know, God will add those. But again, He'll show you what those things are, you know. And they may well be, I haven't sort of figured this out totally. I've seen it in the realm of the spirit of Germany. I've seen it in another realm. What I feel probably is going to happen is that the benches that operate, you know, as a 10 together with 7 mountains will have somebody attached to that will connect up with other benches. And those other benches will take a wider government over the different things that come together. And God will bring those benches together to form regional councils or national councils or different things that have an even greater dimension of authority, which will be much more legislative.
Yeah.
and they'll begin to legend. It's like in our government, we have a cabinet. You have the general members of parliament, but you have a cabinet appointed by the government to have, you know, the Minister of Finance, you have the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Ministry of War, Defense Ministry, you know, you have all the different departments.
Right.
And I believe that God is going to start establishing that out of people's different ministry calls or kingdom calls that will look to govern at a wider level.
Right.
Those connections will be made in the spiritual realms.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's tomorrow because it is a process, but I believe ultimately we'll begin to see that. And I think ultimately we will begin to see councils of 70 where you go see over a region or a continent that God begins to raise up the same pattern that's in heaven. You know, because everything really forms on the same patterns over and over again, you know.
Right.
12 is just 1 plus 2, which equals 3. Yeah, 3. Then you have 4 and the 4 faces. 3 times 4 is 12. And they all begin to operate and operate that way. But, you know, that's a sort of a journey that we're on in terms of discovery of where we're going in the future.
Right.
And it may be a way off, but I've started to see it.
Yeah,
I started to see it in the spirit, and I started to, you know, I started to talk to a few people, and when we started talking, there was an interaction that took place.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that they were called to a level of government beyond what they're mature enough to handle right now, but they are maturing fast, and God is looking to invest in them now, and there will be, you know. Well, different expressions. You know, I'm not going to put any labels on it because I don't know. I know something is incubating inside me that I'm just starting to see into the future, and this has really started to come about as I've been going back to the beginning to see what does it look like.
Right.
You know, what does it look like to, you know, I think Romans 8. I've been meditating in Romans 8 a lot recently. What does it look like for creation to be free from the bondage that it's been subjected to, brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God? And I'm mm-hmm. just thinking, wow, what does that look like?
Right.
What administrative function will that have? How will we feel when we are free? And creation is becoming free, and creation begins to respond to us like it always would have done with Adam and Eve, you know, and sometimes it does now, and we begin to take authority over the wind and the rain and different things at time. But actually, I'm talking about a different level of authority where creation begins to be molded and shaped by that which is birthed out of us. Yeah, and that will tie together with cities of refuge and establishing places where the government of God is established, where heaven is on earth. You know, where this embassy of heaven forms, that type of thing.
Right.
You know, it will begin to operate on a different scale of government, and the land will respond.
Right.
So much so that, you know, the things I've been seeing, it's like, actually, you know, we need, I believe water is going to be an absolutely key commodity in the future, because I believe water will be used to produce energy, particularly hydrogen energy. Water is a source. We know we can't live without water. Water produces the new things for food to grow. Everything will be about water. And actually, I believe the land will respond to produce water, whether it's a course of the river will change, whether the deep will open up. We will see that whether there were hidden aquifers that are under the ground that we will have access to bring to the surface. I think we will start to see transformation take place as the land begins to be conformed to the freedom that we carry.
Right.
To bring it back into order, where the river of life is watering the world.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's
I can
It's
see
a bit
that.
out there and a bit sort of looking into, but that's what I've been seeing when I've been looking at the past from the beginning to then see, okay, what is this going to look like? And how are we
Right.
going to manifest it? Because this is our responsibility to manifest that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just as you've been talking, a couple of things have come to me, and the one is, we have, as our authority has been usurped by the enemy, and we have just been focused on greed and using the things of the earth for our own purposes and for our own wealth, that it's almost like it's gone into a self-protective mode where it's had to maybe go deeper to protect the resources from the greed and from those who are using it wrongly. So as the government of God becomes established, it's almost like, when you go to a mistreated creature, you have to go very gently, you have to go very carefully, because they're uncertain if you're someone who's going to abuse them again or not. But as you show the favor and you show the love towards it, this creature opens up, and there's this give and take that starts to happen. It's almost like, the God putting us in place will allow the earth to open up and once again show its bounty. We've only scratched the surfaces, and we know that in our avarice to try to mine from the earth. But when we're in cooperation, yeah, there must be a lot of hidden wonders. Just as when God called you deeper, you discovered whole new layers. Yeah, that's exciting to consider.
It is, yeah, and but that's the stuff we have to start brooding over and meditating on and looking into, because the more we look into it, the more it will shape the desires of our heart, and the more it will open up those realms to become manifestations of that rather than potential of that, because it has to be the hope that we see has to become through the substance of faith manifested. So, and that's how these things work. Vision and hope gets established in us, because then a hope fulfilled becomes a tree of life. But hope deferred makes the heart sick. We establish hope, and then we need to learn how to engage the substance. Faith is the substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of things we don't yet see physically, so we begin to live in the future manifestation of that in the present, and then it will be start to be manifested. But we have to cultivate that hope and that desire so that faith can become the substance of it,
Right. Yeah.
the manifestation.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. It brings our the things that have been dormant within us, related to the hope, but also just the creativity that's been dormant within us. It just starts to stir all that and bring it to the surface again. That's awesome. When you were talking earlier before too about the benches becoming connected and I forget the way you described it, but I started thinking of the body. So God's been bringing people together in muscle groups, and benches to begin to move, to begin to act out his desires. And then what you talked about, the overlap, is like the connective tissue, that starts to form and bring muscle groups together, so that when one group is opening up and expanding, the other group is maintaining on this side and confining things, and just the working together of the muscles in, say, an arm, how they all have to work in tandem but opposites to create the movement of the limb in that area. So yeah, it's I just always like biology, so he does a lot of biological analogies for me, but that really started to make sense, that that he's organizing his body, he's creating it. So that's another level that has to be put in place to organize the muscles, the benches.
But as people begin to listen to the call and the sound, and they begin to vibrate and resonate with the frequency that's being released, then again, the spirit is brooding and hovering and bringing together, because that's what the spirit did in the fact of chaos after the removal of light in the first creation. There had to be a reestablishing and bringing together, and the spirit was hovering over the waters, waiting, drawing. And that's really what happens with this sound. It will start to draw people together into those groups that you're describing, into those relationships, those connections, which then establish, they honor, and the culture that actually can release blessing.
Right.
As it develops. Because everything needs to operate on the issue of honor. As we honor each other, then we receive from that person the reward of their life, and they receive from us the reward of our life, and we're then multiplying rather than in addition. There's a multiplication. One can put 1,000 to 10,000. So there's an exponential increase once we come together. So 3 come together, and you've not got 20, but 100, because you've got 1 to the 10 to the 100, 3 to the power of 3.
Right.
You don't need many people to come together to see an amazing exponential connection. Once people know that they're connected and there is a flow, when there's blockages and when there's hindrances and obstructions, then the level of the flow is decreased, which is why we must establish relationship. This has to be relational. Relational on the basis of bringing glory and extending God's kingdom. We're not out to build church. He will do that. Mm-hmm. We're out to bring blessing and to release discipleship, to support and nurture and encourage each other and others, so that the fullness can begin to be multiplied and flowing through our midst in that exponential way. Because, see the difference between 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, and 1 to the power of 10 to the power of 10, which is 100.
Right.
There's a big difference between 3 and 100, and the difference really is the connection that they have in the spirit, where 1 and 1 and 1 stay 1 because they're not willing to surrender and yield to be part of a whole. They remain independent. Mm-hmm. Whereas God isn't like that when he's together. He's not 1 plus 1 plus 1. There's just a huge exponential connection when Father, Son, and Spirit are together. And the same for us. When our spirit, soul, and body comes together, it's not 1 plus 1 plus 1. It's an exponential growth where our spirit begins to go through the soul, and there's 10 times more, and then as it manifests around us, it's 100-fold. So we have 100-fold presence of the spirit and the river and around us, which, we have to practice and we have to get the things flowing, but there won't be any competition, because there won't be I am one. It will be I am part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be a different attitude, which is the attitude, of the order of Melchizedek, and the attitude of the Joshua generation. That's the attitude which will be prevalent amongst us. We're not looking for position. We're looking to always support others and to release blessing and multiply that blessing out.
As you're talking, I just get a real... just an understanding, on earth, our satisfaction always seems to be out here. It's just beyond our hands' reach. That's the lie, that if you get here, then you'll have it, but you get there, and it's always ahead of you, the dangling carrot. But in God's kingdom, our satisfaction is in establishing with him and walking in, like you said, that 100%, that fullness, that ability to just have no obstructions, the fullness of our flow. And so then our joy comes from walking in that, and wanting the people beside us to walk in that too. So you're not, you establish your kingdom where God has free reign, and then you begin to help the people beside you to establish their kingdom, because your joy is going to be multiplied when they're fully walking in their 100% too.
Yeah, that's right. And everything is about that unity that comes about when we are surrendered to one another and we honor one another, and it will flow. You know, it will begin to flow, and it will begin to increase and increase and increase until we're seeing the full manifestation of it, which will bring transformation. You know, it will bring transformation to the created universe, both physical and spiritual, because actually we need to rule in the atmosphere and rule in the realms of heaven to establish that and bring light back into that. So, you know, we're just practicing here in a little area for a much wider sphere of government in the future, which is so pretty awesome to, you know, I can even look, thinking about the stuff that's here is pretty amazing. Then you think, wow, this is just the door into the future. But so it's, yeah, it's all good stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Okay. Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time again today.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate your just where you're traveling and where you're pulling us up to. Bless you for that.
Okay. You're welcome. Excellent.